Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
947 on WGN Radio. Alexandra Limon is the Washington correspondent for Nexstar. She joins us on WGN Radio. Alexandra, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey there. Good. Good to be with you.
Our agribusiness reporter, Orion Samuelson's also on a mic. Not in my studio, though. You over there, O? Orion will join us, I think, in just a moment. But let's start a little bit talking about your reporting on this, Alexandra. So there are meatpacking plants across the country. You told me before we went on the air today that, in fact, what was it, 35% of the pork-producing houses and 25% of the beef-producing plants are shut down right now?
That's right, and that's because of COVID-19 outbreaks at those meat processing plants. But I spoke to Senator Mike Rounds of South Dakota, who also warned that there were projections that many, many more plants would shut down out of caution because they were worried about, you know, liability, that if their employees got sick, they would be legally responsible for that. So that's part of the reason that this executive order was issued, to force the plants to stay open because of a concern about the country's food supply. Yeah. And also to protect the companies from liability.
Orion Samuelson joins us now. Oh, we were talking about this yesterday.
Yes.
So if they say those plants have to be open, then the workers or somebody's got to go back in there and do it. Alexandra, what are you hearing about that? Do the workers want to go back into those plants?
Well, I spoke to the vice president of the United Food and Commercial Workers International Union, which represents these workers. I spoke to him yesterday, and he says, you know, they want to get back to work. They need to get back to work. But here's the concern. We've already seen something like this play out in South Dakota, where the governor did not issue wide shutdowns across the state. People kept going to work, and then there was an outbreak at a pork processing plant, and hundreds of workers got sick. So the concern from the union is that if these workers don't have proper PPE, which they are concerned they can't be guaranteed because even hospitals and doctors are having a hard time getting it, so if they don't have that, if they don't have proper social distancing measures, that, you know, hundreds, perhaps thousands of additional meatpacking workers could end up getting sick, and then you'll still see the food supply chain be impacted because if workers aren't there to do the work, obviously the process can't go on.
Well, I'm still just wondering if it's, Orion, one of these plants, it was 200 people were diagnosed with COVID, right?
Well, one of the counts I saw after talking to one of the union chiefs was that 1.3 million workers are represented by the union, and an estimated 6,500 are sick or have been exposed to the virus while working near someone who tested positive. I'll tell you, working in a meat processing plant is, I think, one of the toughest jobs you can have, and you can't do that separation that they say is so vital in controlling it. And we're not alone. It's happening in Canada. The Prime Minister of Canada says he's keeping a close watch on the meatpacking industry to decide whether or not he follows President Trump. Brazil, one of the big beef producers on the planet, same problem. Those workers who have to be within 6 feet of another worker, yeah, simply can't get enough separation.
Well, go ahead, Orion.
Yeah, the plants are beginning to put flexiglass or whatever you want to call it, between the workers to try to keep some form of lack of contact there to keep the disease from spreading. And then the question that I get constantly is, well, why do we have to ship the animals? You can't on the ranch or the farm once they have reached the market weight. You've got to put them somewhere. Packing plants backing up because they can't move the product as quickly as possible. And so it's not an easy situation.
Pause right there. Hold on 1 second. That's an interesting point you made the other day, and that's kind of new for people like me who aren't in agriculture. When that hog gets to the right weight, it's time for that animal to be processed. list. You can't just let it keep living and living and getting heavier and heavier and eating more grain that you have to pay for. As it gets bigger, it goes beyond what is the weight and the composition of the animal that we want to eat. Now, it's fattier, it's tougher, and it's not a valuable commodity then. And Alexandra was talking to me off the air, then if they can't process that animal and they don't want to keep feeding the animal, they have to, is this what you're hearing, Alexandra? I know what you're hearing. Those animals have to be euthanized, right?
Yeah, right. And that's something I was speaking to Senator Rounds about. Farmers were getting really concerned that they would perhaps have to euthanize, you know, hundreds of thousands of heads of livestock around the country. And this at a time when grocery stores and food banks are having a hard time keeping up with the demand for food. That's one aspect of it. But then on the farmer's end of it, they're going to be stuck with these euthanized animals that they now also have no place to safely dispose of. So you can imagine that creates all sorts of health and safety concerns for farmers and farm workers.
Well, then let's open up the plants again, the processing houses. But do the workers want to go back? Can they be forced to go back?
So you can compel the plant to stay open, but obviously you can't force people to show up if they're sick or if they're worried. However, UFCW says their members really do want to get back to work. They want to do what's best for both themselves and for the country. And the union made a point of saying that these are some of the most vulnerable people in our population. Many of them are immigrant workers, and they may not be in a position where they qualify for either unemployment or those stimulus checks. So they're in a really tough spot where they either have no income or they're putting their health and safety at risk.
Yeah, you've heard that too, Orion. I mean, I expect those people want income.
Yeah, I know they do, because a lot of American workers who are American do not want to do that meatpacking job. But the migratory workers who have to have some form of income fairly quickly, they will do the job. It is not a simple process, except the one thing I say over and over, there is no food shortage, but there is a labor shortage probably, or a labor problem, or even a transporting problem.
Well, do either of you know what's happening with the price or availability of pork and beef at the grocery store? I don't go as often as I used to, but I've been able to get the meat I want. What's happening there?
I think from a price standpoint... Go ahead.
The only thing I was going to say is that I think it comes and goes in waves, because as he mentioned, it's an issue of labor and also of transportation, of being able to transport the meat once it's processed. So it comes in waves, and in some cases it's taking longer than it used to. And the other thing that I was told is that soon we may start seeing still having some meat out there, but the problem is going to be that it's going to be different cuts and different types of meat that maybe used to go to restaurants and now they're not needing them. And so it's going to be things that people aren't used to buying and cooking with.
I saw the story, like filet mignon at a great price at grocery stores across the country because there's no place else to send it. Orion, what were you going to say just now?
No, I was just going to say that being able to convince people to go back to work is a two-bladed knife, because they do want to go back to work, but they don't want to get sick. And you're beginning to see the numbers of people who work in packing plants getting the coronavirus, and that is a major concern.
Well,
so
you know, it also concerns people, Orion. Listen to what Sally wants to say. You're on WGN. Sally, you're on the air. Hi.
Thank you. Hi. I just wondered about all this food we've been buying, and maybe a lot of those workers were sick, but they were going to work anyway, and maybe they could have coughed over it. Or you can look at ConAgra and some of these other products, placers who have things that are frozen, and now suddenly Jimmy Dean is closed and all of these other places. What does that do to the quality of our food? Oh, well, there's a microwave, but is that going to answer our question?
Hold on a second, Sally. We've got 60 seconds left. I'll let both of them comment briefly on that. But I know Dr. Most has said that he has great confidence in the food. The virus does not transmit well in that situation. Do either of you have any comment on that?
As long as it's frozen, we're okay.
As long as it's frozen, we're okay. And Alexandra?
Also, high heat kills the virus, so once you cook the food, you're good.
It's good to hear that. Now we just need to get it in the shelves. And I've noticed what Alexandra noticed, and that is sometimes everything is there, and sometimes a kind of meat is picked over. That may be the transportation issue. Orion reminds you that there's plenty of it there, but we have to get it processed. We'll continue to follow this news. Alexandra Limon is a Washington correspondent for NextStar. Nice to talk to you and meet you, Alexandra. Let's visit again.
Yes, thank you.
And Orion Samuelson, we'll hear from you in just a little bit. It's 9:57. The news is coming up.